Oh boy. It's the news, according to me. Well, it's a Monday morning, I believe. I think it's a Monday morning. If you just believe enough, it will be Monday morning. It's Monday, March 22nd. I am in a undisclosed bunker, otherwise known as a hotel room, once again. I've been all over the country in the last couple of days. It's been an interesting couple of days. Over the weekend was very interesting. Last week was really interesting. We are, let's first cover some important topics. I have the unusual experience this morning of drinking some chocolate milk. It's not hot chocolate, it's just chocolate milk. It's the good stuff, more expensive stuff from the store. It's pretty good. It says it says taste the Jersey cow difference. Richer and creamier, natural milk. Midnight chocolate, reduced fat milk. Yeah, it's good stuff. Don't worry though. It's kind of thick, and it's even though it's 2%, it's still kind of thick. And I'm washing it down with some sweet tea, of course, because that's what cures everything. I have some. There's just been some interesting news. Now, for some of you who know, of course, the big thing in the news that is sweeping the nation is the big news on every broadcast site that you look at. Joe Biden fell up the steps. And that's a big deal, apparently. So they're making a big deal out of it. Whether it's a big deal or not, they're making a big deal out of it. And it is kind of a big deal. And there's something I'd like to talk about with that. It goes beyond just the fact that he fell. It's more about what that represents. A lot of different ways to look at that. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We also want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the border, because there's these pictures just came out from this one, I believe, congressman from Texas, who's actually a Democrat. He might be a senator. He's a congressman. From Texas, and he. These pictures are atrocious. It's heart-rending, rendering. It's heart-rending, heart-crushing. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's the fact that they're pulling all this stuff for the purpose. I guess this is for the purpose of getting voters in. Now, there's so much going on with this whole situation. They're trying to cover it up. That's one of the ridiculous parts of it. And of course, when you try to cover it up like that, then now you have a situation where, you won't let anybody in, you won't let anybody help, you won't let anybody do anything. FEMA's trying to do everything. This is the government basically trying to take care of the situation, and they're doing an atrocious job. And this is very typical of government programs, in fact. Very similar to what happens with government programs. If this is the kind of situation where if you turned this loose and said, hey, we have a situation at the border, we need everybody's help, there'd be 10,000 people down there helping the 10,000 people. There'd probably be more than 10,000 people down there bringing food, clothing, shelter, whatever they needed. Sadly, though, this is a crisis that was manufactured. This wasn't a natural disaster. This was a situation where I'm going to call them NGOs, the non-government organizations, who are tied very closely to different administrations, who get tax money in these big stimulus bailouts things. These are the people. Like the Acorn Group. Now, Acorn is no longer Acorn, but the groups like that. Most people are familiar with Acorn. all kinds of organizations, and they're just all over the place. These organizations are tied very closely to political movements, or they have very close political ties to different people in Congress, as well as just the general party, and as it is. Union groups, it's all part of their whole conglomeration of, how they manipulate the country and how they make things happen. And this is, the way they fund it is through these big stimulus programs, whether it's called Shovel Ready or the For the People Act, whatever it is. These things are funded. Now, these organizations are working down there in South America, Central America, bringing about the, feeding them with information on what's going to happen when they get to the border. Now, not only that, they do listen to the news. Don't get me wrong. They the news media as well, and all through the campaign, they were signaling and letting everybody know that the borders were going to be basically they're an open border. This is an open border group. Now, at a time when most countries have their borders closed because of COVID, even in Europe, there you can't travel. Even within countries, they have areas where you cannot go from one city to another. Look at Australia. They locked down Auckland for a while, and that's in New Zealand. They wouldn't let anybody go travel north of a certain road. and they did the same thing in Australia with Sydney. They had some cities locked down there as well. So it's and here we are with a border situation where we have people coming up with variants. Now, one of the things that the whole variant thing is also a little bit of a, that's some sweet tea there. That's another thing that's a little bit of a, not a little bit, it's a lot of bit of another scare tactic. If Anthony Fauci had his way, we would be wearing masks until 2030. Because he can continue to make money on this whole thing. Until he comes up with he wants babies to be vaccinated. He wants children to be vaccinated. And that is the most outrageous thing in the world. Who knows what this is going to do? Now, Bill Gates one time made either a slip of the tongue, or he made a Freudian slip, or he just made the statement because it's the way it is, and he just happened to make the statement, didn't mean to make it publicly. There's a speech of him several years ago talking about vaccinations. Now, why would the guy from Microsoft, who's made his money in computers, be so interested in global issues, global population, and social engineering? That's what all these big money people, that's their hobby. They start playing with society. They want to shape it and create it and do what they want to with it, because that's what they've been doing with their business. So he was in this speech, and he was talking about we need vaccinations because we need to reduce the population. Now, the way this works is, you make people healthier, technically, supposedly, somehow, that would theoretically think, you'd think that would mean that you would increase the population. I don't know what he meant. I'm assuming that was some kind of a slip. It was either he said what the quiet part out loud, or he meant something else. Like, he meant to say that we want to decrease the population of sickness, which seems ridiculous. That doesn't seem like a kind of statement you would make that would be accidental. I mean, when Joe Biden said we have the most sophisticated voter fraud organization, what he meant, he didn't mean, what he said was true, but the problem was, that's not what he meant to say. I think what he meant to say was, they have an anti-voter fraud organization or whatever they, I think that's what he meant to say, but he didn't say it that way. Now, one of the things that they are talking about doing is which makes you wonder about this whole, well, the whole vaccination thing. Is this going to affect virility in children? Are we going to have birth issues, which we're already kind of having? We're already starting to see a drop off in fertility rates among certain parts of the population, demographics. And one of the things that they want to do with the folks on the border now is because the facilities down there can't handle this inflow. Now, think about this. This is something that you need to think about. So how are they going to fix this? They're going to fly these people to other facilities on the northern border to check them in, to process them. Stop and think about that for a moment. What kind of procedure does it take to get someone on an airplane, on a commercial airplane, these days? Are they going to be using commercial airplanes, or are they going to be chartering airplanes? Are they going to use military aircraft? Who's funding this? Stop and ask yourself these questions. The money that they're spending to move thousands of people to other facilities to process them. And will they actually go to those facilities? And are they just on the border? And then what are they? They're basically saying, you're here, you're going to stay. Heaven forbid we should use that funding and that the money and the airplanes to fly them back to their, then drop them off at their original place of destination, or original place of departure. Departure, arrival, whatever. So think about that. Now, one of the things that they did when we were having, of course, this kind of crisis came up during the Obama administration when we had the migrants over in Europe and we had to take these refugees in, had to take in the refugees. Which, okay, it's fine to take in refugees. What's really going on there? And you start looking at the places where they're dispersing these refugees. It was strategically done. They're going to put these people, I guarantee you, they're going to use these groups of people and put them in areas that are heavily Republican. They're trying to change, you know, if they get enough areas to turn from red to blue. So they're using these people as voting, basically pawns, to place them in certain demographics so that when they vote, they can water down the vote in those areas. And it's, if you can't see this happening, then you're not paying attention at all. But that is what is happening. And whether it's, you know, right now, this and for 2022 or 2024, they play the long game on this stuff. They want these families to settle in and have roots, and you know, the next thing you know, they're half the population, and then you have. And I'm not just talking about racial issues. I'm just talking about the voter base. They're, you know, they're going to be Democrats because they come from social areas or countries that are used to the social programs and the socialism. And, you know, I've heard it even said, people have been very clear in some of the interviews that they've had. They said they wouldn't mind a dictator if that dictator will provide them with health care. So they don't mind having a benevolent dictator. They don't understand what it is to have liberty and to have freedom and to have government that is not overstepping its bounds, to not live under a king, but to have rule of your own life and give that, you know, you have the freedom to worship as you choose and to live as you choose within the bounds of your own rights, with your own self-government. And we've lost touch with that. I think mostly because our schools have dumbed it down. They don't teach the understanding of freedom and liberty. They think of freedom as, you know, having the government give you everything you need so that you have freedom. And that's not the way it works, folks. When you become dependent on the government, when you become dependent on someone else like that, you become a slave to them. You are now a serf. You are chattel. And they can manipulate, just like we're seeing with big tech. Once you buy into what they have, they can take it away. If they don't agree with what you're saying, well, we're going to cut your food stamps this month. We're not going to allow you to eat that food. We're going to only allow you to eat this food. Whatever it is. But I digress. So, the issue basically, and of course they even double talk in one sentence. The guy that's the administrator for the Department of Homeland Security or whoever, whatever he is, the guy that's in charge of the border, he comes out and says, "Don't send your children, but if you do, we won't turn them away." Okay. Don't rob us. Don't rob our store. But if you do, we're not going to put up, you know, we're not going to resist. You can take whatever you want. That's basically what we're saying here. How do you take that? We're not going to prosecute you. We're not going to turn you away. We're going to let you come in and take everything. And you can sit down and have a meal while you're at it, I guess. So, the ridiculous nature of this whole thing is just unbelievable. They're telling the press one thing, and it's the press that's on their side. So you know there's a lot more going on. And this whole thing, the way they're trying to cover up what's going on the border, that's a major tell in terms of they know things are bad down there. And of course now these pictures are getting out, and it is really seriously bad. We have that situation going on. We have, you know, the issue where they're going to be flying these people around. Doesn't it take about as long to check somebody in for a flight? Why don't you just process them? By the time you know the logistics of getting an airplane, filling it with people, which you can't even get on an airplane and commercially without having an ID and all those other kinds of things. How are you going to do that? How does this work? You're not putting these people on commercial airliners. I don't understand how that's going to work. They've had at least four people that they've caught so far that were on the terror watch list. How many others are getting through? You know, it's probably just a drop in the bucket that they've found. So this situation is dire, and it's stupid. This didn't have to happen. It's all in the name of Orange Man Bad. We have to counteract everything that Trump did because by golly, we're the virtuous ones. You know, we allow 1 million people a year legally into this country every year. We could probably allow 1.5 million if we didn't have 1 million other people that are coming in illegally. We had 100,000 people, over 100,000 people in February alone came into the country illegally, crossed the border. Because of this craziness that's going on. The policies matter. They really do. And, of course, elections matter, and that's... And the reason that they don't care about processing these people... They're turning some of them... They're letting some of them go into the country without giving them a court date. Not that any of them show up. I think only about 10% show up for their court date. When they seek asylum, they ask for asylum, they have to have a court date, and the courts are so backlogged that they send them out. They say, okay, we're going to release you on your own cognizance. You go on your way, and this is when you're supposed to come back to court. Of course, they never do. Now, one out of ten, at the most, probably less now, come back for their court date. And so they enter the country, and now... Right now, the administration knows this doesn't matter. They don't need to process them. They don't have to have a court date because they're going to give them amnesty. And they're telling, this is the motivation for people to come up here right now. The NGOs, the organizations out there, are, I guarantee, I don't know this for a fact, but I'll guarantee you that what I'm saying is probably true. Could be true. It's plausible. I just know it in my bones. These people are being told, they know there's going to be an amnesty coming. And of course, they still won't fix the border. So we'll have a whole bunch more coming in after the amnesty. This happened under Reagan. There was an agreement that we would, you know, we would have amnesty, we'd fix the problem, and then we'd solve the problem at the border. Well, the problem was never really solved at the border. Funds were allotted, and they were allowed for to fix the problem, and it was never spent. Because you still had a Democrat Congress at that time. And by the way, the Democrats controlled the Congress for like 45 years or some ridiculous thing. Think about that. So now we have this situation going on. Now, and I guarantee you, once they get everything over, you know, once the border thing slows down and we have everybody up here that they all, everybody that wants to come in, and they get everybody spread out all over the country. And if you look closely into some of these bills that are being passed, you probably can find some kind of programs for financial help for people who were trying to relocate, for relocating migrants, and probably going to place them, you know, in every town in America, basically, because they'll have funding to do so. And of course, they won't leave because they get free housing or whatever they're going to get. Yeah. So that's probably what's going on down there. That's my take on the whole thing. So this is all conjecture and supposition. And speaking of conjecture and supposition, if you didn't get to see it, check out the little feud between Dr. Fauci
and Senator Rand Paul.
Sorry, I like Rand. I agree with 99% of what he says. And I really appreciate his dad for teaching me what liberty is. But he just kind of reminds me of a California surfer dude who's also a doctor. I think he's like a wannabe surfer dude from Kentucky. he's just real mellow inside, and of course he's the one guy that gets beat up more than anybody else. Congress. Poor guy. His neighbor beats him up. He gets accosted in the street. Practically has to rescue the police officers trying to guard him. Oh my gosh. I mean, the guy just keeps on going. You know, that's what's amazing about the guy. He just reminds me a lot of one of the founders kind of people. I don't always agree with everything he says. He's a principled guy. He has principles, and he sticks to them. And even when in the midst of going against the party, he'll do that. That's what I appreciate about his dad too. His dad was kind of known as Dr. No. His dad was also a doctor, but he kind of went at it with Fauci. Chocolate milk, and it was a good exchange. It needed to happen. Of course, now Fauci just dismisses him and says that he's just there you go with the theater. Oh, that's everything with the theater. Because Fauci now wears two masks. And so he was questioning him about whether or not, you know, since you've been vaccinated and if you've had the disease, then he went through all the studies showing that you may never actually have it again, or that it's very unlikely you'll have it again. There's very few cases. Percentage-wise, it's very rare for somebody to get it twice, to actually get it twice. So now the variants, and whether or not the variants are immune or whether they will also infect people who are immune to the original virus, there's still no studies on that. There's nobody who's had the main coronavirus, the COVID-19, and ended up getting a variant. I don't know of any cases where that's happened. So now they're saying that the variant's more dangerous and it's more deadly and more contagious. Okay, so instead of being 99.95% deadly, it is now 99.94% deadly. This is a little bit, again, of course, when they first came out with the first original COVID-19, the original pandemic virus was 3 to 4% mortality rate, that which has completely dropped off the chart now into 99.95, I think, or something like that, something ridiculous. Survivability, I should say. Not yeah, 99.95 mortality rate, we would all be dead. So this is the kind of stuff that they're doing. They're pulling, and it's getting to the point where it's very frustrating. And I'm tired of it. So I'll just leave that right there. One of the other things I want to talk about. There's some interesting things. There's some headlines. I want to see if I can. I saw some headlines here that I had pulled up. Let me see if I can just move things around here a little bit. Pull this over here. It's all tangled up there. Okay. We have the Capitol fence, I guess, is they have plans now to take it down. They haven't given a date on when it's coming down. And they're going to reduce the troops at the Capitol because now everybody's realizing there really isn't any threat. And it's ridiculous for them to be there. Now, if Nancy Pelosi had her way, they would be there till the end of the year. She actually has said that she wants them there till the end of the year. The fence is coming down. Everything's, you know. So now it's time to move. Time to rally the troops and head in there and take over. Yeah. That fence won't stop, by the way. If there was a million people there, that fence is coming down. That's because I guarantee you the same people who put the fence up, there are just as many people on the other side of the fence that know how to take it down. So the fence is just keeping, you know, law-abiding people out. If there were a million people who wanted to actually take over the fence isn't going to stop them. Sorry, it's not going to happen. But there isn't. That's the point. I mean, there are a lot of people right now who would like to say, you know, we just need to dig a big hole there and just push the whole thing, you know, all the Congress into it. that's a pretty picture. Isn't it? The Earth would probably spit them back out. I digress. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking around. So all that's going on. The whole thing with Cuomo is still going on. And now I think we're up to what, 142 people? Is it or is it 8? I think it's 7 or 8 people, I think, have now come out with accusations. One is a current staffer. At least one of them that I know of is a current staff aide or whatever they call them. There's some. Now some of these things are just, you know, inappropriate touching and suggestions. Didn't actually do anything. Now where there's smoke, there's fire. You know that he's not just this way, and people are coming forward, and he's. You know that there are some who have been involved with him. I mean, play the numbers game here. There are some who have been involved with him who probably, will not come forward. And they, you know, his advances, obviously he's making his advances and doing, saying these things and doing things. Somebody probably took him up on it. Probably more than once. So it'd be interesting to see how this unfolds. And it's, of course, he's blaming on cancel culture. But that's, you know, he has to deal with his own little issues there, I guess. De Blasio, of course, is coming out against him, and even some other people are saying that, you know, it's time for him to step down. Even the Democrats are saying this is not a good situation. He needs to step down. Whether or not he will or not, I don't know. He probably won't. There's a huge movement now to impeach the man. So we'll see how that goes. In fact, they're having demonstrations now and stuff in the streets now in New York. So we'll see what happens with that. I want to talk a little bit more again about this whole thing about Biden tripping up the steps real quick. I'll just kind of end with this part of it. Biden, he tripped three times. And each time was a little harder fall than the first. Now, it's not funny. It really isn't. There's a couple things going on here. One is, okay, he tripped. He was trying to run up the steps, tripped a little bit, tried to correct himself, took another couple steps, tripped again, and in the process of trying to recover, fell all the way to the ground. Not the ground, but all the way into the steps as he's going up the steps. Picks himself up, kind of brushes himself off, and walks carefully up the steps the rest of the way. There's something called a harbinger, and I don't know if it's something that's symbolic of what's actually happening. And this is, I think one of the things I've learned is that nothing happens by accident. Really. Accidents happen, but in the midst of that accident, there's a certain providence about them. And this is difficult to talk about because it's not an easy thing to explain theologically. But sometimes in the midst of these things happening, God speaks to those who are listening. And it can always mean something different to different people. It's in different situations. God can speak a certain way, use their culture, use what, and he can speak in different ways. There's this one issue where Jesus met a blind man. And he spat on the ground, made some mud out of it, put the mud on the man's eyes, and he could see. There was a folklore among the Pharisees, Jews, teachers, that the Messiah, when he comes, the spit from his mouth will have healing power. It was found nowhere in Scripture necessarily. They extracted it from the Torah in some way, but it was. It was more folklore than it was biblical principle. And he even fulfilled that. Because he was speaking to their culture. He was speaking to something within, not just what the Scripture said, but what their culture said about him. How they expected him to be. And in some ways, sometimes this kind of thing happens. Now, I think that there will be, I think the Biden administration is going to fall. The fact that it happened three times is also very telling, very, very important to realize that that's a critical thing. And I believe that there's... their excuse for why, this is the other thing too, this is what brings it in. When it came time to excuse the issue, they didn't just say, well, he just tripped. He just had a bad day, whatever it was. I can't say I've never tripped up steps. Even as a young man, I tripped up steps before. So it's not just that. But what they blamed it on was the wind. The wind typically is very representative of the Spirit. Take that word the way you want. Take it any way you wish. But I'm going to leave it right there. Because think about this. Just ponder on these things. Take a step back once in a while. Now, later on today, I'm going to have a show that we'll have, hopefully, have a show later this afternoon. Talk a little bit more about some of these issues. in terms of just things like that. Stuff that I was watching a show about Neanderthal man and some of the things that they were saying and the stuff that they were talking about. It's interesting to explore that a little bit more, either this afternoon or tomorrow morning. I'll be talking about that a little bit more. Once again, folks, have a great day. God bless. Praying for our nation, pray for our president, pray for those in charge. Have a great day, everybody. Happy Monday morning.